Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in South Central Iowa and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA and KRLS. Now with today's In-Depth, here's Dr. Bob Leonard.
What kind of winter are we going to have? Let's go in depth with Justin Glisson, Iowa State climatologist. Dr. Glisson, how long have you been state climatologist?
It's coming up on 6 months. November 29th will be my 6 month anniversary.
And how are you liking it?
Oh, I love it. It's, you know, to be a 36-year-old atmospheric scientist, climatologist in your dream job is amazing.
Well, and you have some big shoes to fill.
Absolutely. Harry, my line for Harry is if there was a Mount Rushmore for a state climatologist, he would be the first one on it. He's well-respected in the field, very well-liked, very affable. So I really want to continue his tradition with supplying information to anybody who needs it.
Well, people used to say when Harry talked, the markets moved.
I can envision that, yes. He held stature among state climatologists.
What's a typical day like for you?
So typically what I do is when I get into my office about, you know, a little before 8 o'clock, I actually bring up the National Weather Service area forecast discussion for each part of the state, just so I can get a feel for how the forecast are turning out, anything specific to parts of the state that I need to be aware of in case I get calls from the media, such as what's the earliest snowfall for a given location, you know, climatological things that are of interest across the state. After I look at the local forecast, and then I go to the Climate Prediction Center website, and I look at their products. They have many products that help climatologists, state climatologists, regional climatologists do their jobs. Look at the outlooks for temperature and precipitation, updated seasonal outlooks, things like El Nino, how they'll affect the wintertime season, going into spring and into the growing season. And then I'll just peruse various agricultural websites, newspapers, articles, seeing how things are going out in the field, especially during the growing season. I do get a lot of requests for interviews, which I love to do because it's your way of disseminating information to people across the state. I also, you know, probably once or twice a week receive letters from lawyers requesting weather observations for specific, you know, slip and fall cases or accidents, car accidents, things like that. So I certify those records and send them off for a litigation. And then from there, you know, you get a lot of calls from farmers. I have a farmer up in Kapsuth County that calls me about his rain gauge every Friday and just lets me know what's going on. Another thing that's been really in the forefront for me this growing season has been drought. So me and six other experts across the state, we put together the recommendations for the U.S. Drought Monitor author. We look at things like precipitation, transpiration of crops, soil moisture, soil temperatures, temperatures in general. And then we talk back and forth about what we think the drought map should look like, and we assign impact reports to various areas to make sure that what we're seeing in terms of moisture variables and other diagnostic variables is actually equal to what we're seeing from pictures of impact reports like corn, empty runoff ponds, things of those nature. So then each week I submit the recommendation to the U.S. Drought Monitor, and they put out a new map.
Wow, it sounds very interesting.
What? It is. It's something new each day.
Well, one of the things I know our listeners want to know is what's the winter looking like?
Sure. So your listeners remember this past season has just been so odd. We had April was the coldest April on record. May was the third warmest May on record. June, the 10th warmest, 10th wettest. And then we get into September, third wettest. October, seventh wettest. So we've really had a wet season right when we didn't need it, right when farmers were getting out in the field. Our forecast models and our probabilistic models showed us that because we were moving from a weak La Nina, which started last year, moving into El Nino neutral conditions, it was giving our forecast models real difficulty getting the outlooks correct. Now we're moving into what we believe will be a weak El Nino, 80% probability of it forming late fall into winter. Now, a weak El Nino formation typically means a warmer wintertime for Iowa. And if you look at past years, past analog years of weak to moderate El Ninos, and you take an average of all those, typically, again, we see a warmer than normal conditions. But we also have seen in the past wetter conditions across western Iowa and near normal to drier conditions in eastern Iowa.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Dr. Justin Glisson, Iowa State climatologist. Okay, so everybody that just heard warmer winter, we're happy to hear that. Are there implications then for, you know, spring rains and into summer?
Sure. So looking at the El Nino forecast, it's predicted to remain during the springtime at a lesser probability, so maybe weakening a tad. The implications for spring, and I hate to say this because now I sound like a meteorologist, but there are equal chances of being wetter than normal or drier than normal right now, given the current outlooks. That being said, that tends towards climatology, which means the rainfall that we've seen since the end of September into the beginning of October really started to recharge soil moisture profiles, runoff ponds, giving us a good head start for moisture going into the growing season. So any type of moisture that we can pick up during the winter time, which is typically our driest time of year, will only benefit us going into the growing season next year.
Very good. Some of this is just so unpredictable and seems like it's so unique, but I guess over the span of a lifetime it may not be. But I don't ever remember like missing spring before.
Yes, that's a very good comment, because you look from Iowa down into Missouri, we didn't effectively have a spring. There was probably a week or two where we had climatologically average conditions, which we would expect for spring, and then we just got hot, and portions of northern Iowa, especially May, June, were just inundated with rainfall over the same part of the state. And then you look at the flip of that, in southern Iowa, they did not receive any rainfall, any measurable rainfall that would help impact drought. So getting into August, the 21st of August was actually the peak of drought in southeast and south central Iowa. After that, the pattern effectively flipped, and we started receiving precipitation, rainfall in rates that we would like to have spread out over the entire season instead of seeing episodic heavy rainfall events. Speaking of episodic rainfall events, the trend over the last 30 years has given us pause, because the trend is showing us that we're getting these more heavy rainfall events over specific parts of the state, and we're trending away from these gentle rainfall events, you know, where you pick up quarter to half inch of rainfall a day that would be able to seep into the soil instead of running off, because either if the rain is falling so fast or the soil is just compacted because it's been so dry.
Well, and then we had some of the same fields be bone dry and then flooded.
Absolutely. And, you know, being in, especially in southern Iowa, they've had rainfall deficits down there over the last 3 years between 20 and 25 inches below normal, which is, that's long-term dryness down there. In terms of long-term dryness, the soil gets harder, and it's not able to absorb moisture. And then you get into these episodic rainfall events where you get a thunderstorm that pops up over a specific part of a county. it's raining out so fast that it's just running off into the streams, so it's not able to absorb into the soil. So what we need to see is longer-term gentler rainfalls to actually kind of relax the soil so it's able to act like a sponge and absorb the rainfall when it gets it.
Well, and we have no control over that.
We don't.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with Dr. Justin Glisson, Iowa State climatologist. What's Iowa going to be like, in 100 years, maybe? Are we going to be, wheat or cotton country with global warming?
You know, we used the 100 latitude line, or longitude line, to effectively split the United States between, drier-type soil conditions to wetter type, and that line has been trending further east over the last 30 years. What our trends are showing us, and I've kind of highlighted some of these, is that we're moving from lower intensity rainfall events. Low pressure moves through the state, you get a quarter to half inch of rainfall on a given day, moving into more episodic, high-frequency, high-intensity precipitation events. And our trends across the state and in the Midwest have shown that overall the atmosphere is warming up. A warmer atmosphere means more moisture availability. A warmer atmosphere can hold more water vapor. So that's where we start to see the dynamics that cause precipitation events to have higher intensity events, which, the people of Iowa have always been resilient, and especially farming-wise, and they've always figured out farming practices that are best suited to the behavior of the atmosphere. And one of the things that I've really been appreciative of is hearing from farmers when I get out into the field, drought meetings, or just talking on the phone with farmers or people in the ag industry, because they have an intuition when it comes to weather. They've been on their land for decades, or family farms for 100 years. They've seen the changes in the atmosphere. They've seen changes in the weather, and they've seen changes in land use. So whatever is best suited for the crop conditions across the state, the farmers typically figure it out pretty fast. And their intuition when it comes to weather and climate is often better than, some of the most educated atmospheric scientists in the country, because they've actually had to work out in the conditions, and they've seen it year after year. So it's been a very educational experience for me.
So they'll adapt no matter what.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and I read, and you were talking about, increasing severity of events. And I read just recently that, we normally have tornadoes. We've never had, as far as I can remember, the most tornadoes in the nation. We had 86 last year?
Around there, yes.
And that's just remarkable.
It's interesting when you look at tornado reports and severe weather reports. Of course, we have more observers now than we did 50 or 60 years ago. So we're kind of getting into an area where we're seeing more observed tornadoes. That being said, we're seeing some weaker behavior in terms of tornadic behavior across the state. There was a study that recently came out that the focal point for tornadic behavior is moving from, Nebraska, Kansas, Oklahoma, and it's kind of shifting east. We're not quite sure why that behavior is happening, but we have had, over the recent past 20 years, 20 to 30 years, actually a decreased behavior in tornadoes across the state. Only recently, this year, June, July, and even some in October, I believe we had 10 reported in October, we've had an increased in the amount of tornadoes that we've seen. Now, it could just be an extreme year in terms of behavior, because we've seen extremes in both temperature and precipitation across the state. So that always has to be in the back of a meteorologist or an atmospheric scientist's mind, that multiple aspects of the atmosphere come into play and can give us extreme behavior.
Anything else you'd like to share about the upcoming seasons, your job, anything that's on your mind you'd like to share with our listeners today?
No, I really enjoy hearing from people out in the state. My phone number and my email address are on the Iowa Department of Agriculture's website. I always respond to emails and telephone calls. It gives me eyes and ears out in the state, and it's also just nice to hear from farmers who, again, have been on their land forever, and that can give me insight into my job, because climatology is effectively the history of weather, and the climatological conditions that we see across the state of Iowa give us a sense of the history of the state. So I'm a big fan of history. My office has records going back into the middle to late 1800s, so I'm surrounded by history. Anything that I can do to provide information that will be helpful to stakeholders out in the state, I'm ready and willing to help. One other thing that is pretty important to me is a program called COCORAS, and this is a civilian rain gauge network. And what it does is it allows just regular people to have a 4-inch rain gauge in their backyard, and they go on the website daily and report if they had rainfall or snowfall, or they put a zero in to indicate that they didn't have any rainfall. So when I'm doing drought reporting or monitoring heavy rainfall events, having more rain gauges around the state helps me put things in perspective in terms of climatology. Have we been wetter than normal? Have we been drier than normal? Are we trending towards wetter than normal conditions in this part of the state versus another part of the state? So the COCORAS website is COCORAS.org, and if people go to the Iowa Department of Agriculture and look for the Climatology Bureau, they'll be able to find all that information, including contact information for me.
Thanks to Justin Glisson for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com, on demand or for download. Just click Radio Plus. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in-depth, contact KNIAKRLS by sending an email to BobLeonard@KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in Marion County is KNIAKRLS.